we continue on This Week in Rays Baseball, and our featured guest this week is Rays reliever Steve Geltz. And Steve, your first full season in the majors. If I would have told you last September when you came up that in mid-August you're going to lead the American League in appearances, what would you have told me?
Absolutely not. There's no way. There's, you know, it's just been an absolute blessing to be here. You know, to speak honestly, it's an unreal dream come true to me.
Why do you think you've had been as successful as you are? Because to make this many appearances, you have to be succeeding in the appearances you're getting.
Honestly, a huge factor of my success personally is the comfort level that I'm able to get when I'm out on the mound. You know, all these guys that are playing behind me, the coaches, everyone on the staff, it's like every pitch they're pulling for you, and you can feel that energy. You really can, and that helps you. All right, here we go. They're behind me, and it's a feeling I haven't really had on like a whole bunch of teams, because teams get different guys, and you know, people get shipped out and in and whatever. But this team this year, I mean, it's a great feeling. They've been so welcoming and humbling to me, and it's been great.
So when did that comfort level start? When did you feel that level of confidence that when you went out there, you felt that they had your back all the time?
Honestly, the feeling of them having my back has been, you know, since day one, since you step on the mound. They do such a good job at letting you know, hey, I got you. No matter if it's a guy with 10 years or a guy with 2 weeks, he's back there and he's playing for you. And, you know, that's just a feeling that they give all the young guys, really. I mean, I know I feel it. I've talked to other guys and they've felt the same way. So it's just one of those things that we like to feed off of, and you know, it keeps us rolling, keeps us in a good spot.
Steve Geltz with us on This Week in Rays Baseball, and certainly communication is important to be able to stay healthy during the course of the season. What is the communication like? Because there are days when you're going to need a day to be down. Give our fans kind of an inside look from that regard.
I mean, it's fantastic as far as coming from like staff to players, players to staff, and then players to other team, you know, players to players, teammates to teammate. It's such a good open and direct line. You know, I don't have to go through X, Y, and Z to get to Cash. I can just go into his office and say, hey, I need to talk to you, or I need a day, or whatever it is. And they're so great at embracing that and welcoming it instead of making you feel awkward about it.
The biggest difference, I would think, from the minors to the majors is in the minors, you rarely ever go three straight days or three out of four or four out of five. And here, within this month, you've done three straight twice. How challenging is that? Is it more mental or physical?
I think it's a combination, definitely, but I think it's for sure more mental. You know, because that all comes relative to where you are at in the season. And, you know, if you're a few months in, you're pretty conditioned enough as a reliever, you know, to physically, you know, kind of endure it a little bit more. I wouldn't say it's easy by any means, you know, like that, but it's a little bit more easy physically to endure once you get into the season. But it's a mental grind to be, you know, to be every day locked in all nine innings, because you don't know. Like me, I don't know when I'm going to pitch, and it's fine, and I love that. But I don't want to sit here and check out because, you know, it's the third inning and we're winning 8-0 or we're losing 8-0. Because I might pitch that game, and I don't want to get beat because of my own, you know, stupidity.
So what's your routine? Because your routine is probably different than a McGee or a Boxberger or someone who pitches late or someone who may be pitching more regularly early, because you've used up, down, all kinds of situations. What do you do during the game? What's your norm?
Well, I always do like a stretch routine with these bands. But it's usually around the fourth inning. But if I sense, you know, something might be coming earlier or later, I might hold off an inning or start an inning. But I always do the same thing. I always, you know, have the same drink, the same time, the same. It's just one of those things, because there's so much different, you know, controlled chaos in a sense with bullpen, because you don't know what could happen, that you have to find something that you can go to every day that you know can happen, you know what I mean? And then make that part of your routine. And as minute as it may be, as far as getting the same Red Bull or the same, you know, shoestrings or whatever it may be for every guy, it's the same thing. And it's a routine that they can stick to and say, okay, I did that, now I'm ready.
and that's important for every reliever, especially. Who helped you find that routine? Because for every guy, they always have a. They always tell me there's a different mentor that helped them on that right path.
You know, it was actually kind of a more of a combination. It wasn't really one select guy. It was just a combination of kind of being around older guys, kind of going to the spring training, you know, filling in as a, you know, as a, you might throw today in a big league game, and that's cool, but you get to hang out with the older guys, and you just kind of, I was always that guy that just kind of sat back and observed, and if I had a question, I'd kind of ask it to the side, and I did that, you know, to a whole bunch of different guys, so to name one would be kind of counterproductive, because there was, I learned, and I'm still learning from every guy, to be honest. I mean, that, and that's honest, I kind of pick up on things, and when to do stuff, when not to do stuff, and that's just kind of what I go by.
I looked at some of the numbers and your success, and one of the things that was interesting, ESPN.com this week did a story about effective fastballs in the game, and yours in terms of being able to square up or hitting hard was probably one of the tougher ones among relief guys. Why do you think your fastball is hard to hit?
I think just because I'm so aggressive with it, you know, I'm not afraid to throw it, and sometimes, you know, in counts where, you know, you shouldn't throw this pitch, you know, there's no way you can throw this pitch. And, well, I like to kind of challenge myself and throw that pitch. And that's been my reason for my success, this, you know, all the way up through from when I was a little kid pitching, is being aggressive and throwing fastballs, throwing strikes kind of thing. And, you know, why change it now? It's what got me here. It's what it's continued success so far. So why change it, you know?
We're chatting with Steve Geltz on This Week in Rays Baseball, and you talk about not changing, but the Rays are an organization that does rely heavily on data. I remember chatting with Kevin Jepsen about how data has helped him. Do you use data much, or do you use a lot of observation and conversation in terms of how you want to go after guys?
Actually, both. I'll use the data. I'll kind of look at what, you know, a guy might be projected as. Well, what's a good pitch to him for, you know, for me personally, what my pitches and, you know, location and stuff like that will do for me against this hitter. And then I'll ask Stan, I'll ask Hick, well, okay, what about this? And maybe I went in and faced him, and I'll come in the dugout and say, hey, Hick, you know, this time I went with this pitch, and, you know, he kind of got a good swing on it. Well, you know, what about, you know, and it's one of those kind of give and take relationships that you just have to kind of experience really to learn from. You can give all the data, all the charts, all the, you know, suggestions and speeches you want, but until you go out there and do it, you know, you can't learn from anything.
And one of the most important things as a reliever is to have the ability to watch things, whether they go well or they go poorly. What's been your highest moment? What's been your toughest moment this year?
I think toughest was extra innings in New York. We were on a bit of a losing streak, and we battled. We took the lead, and I came in the first inning, did well. We took the lead that inning, and then I went out for the top half of the next inning and just didn't get the job done. And that hurt just personally, you know, and it was just disappointing to feel like I let the guys down like that. Given the situation of losing for three or four games in a row, getting all kinds of criticism and stuff like that, and then for us to be in New York, pull around that kind of a turnaround in a big game, and then I felt like I just gave it up, and it hurt, you know. It was rough, but I moved on, and you know, I think about my better games more than that one. And I would say my highest moment has been opening day. I got to pitch opening day, my first opening day in the big leagues, and I happened to make history that day, which was awesome. You know, I still think about it and kind of get chills, because it's just something I never thought would be a realistic thing in my, you know, in my future, and it happened. I lived it. I did it, and it's still surreal to me in a sense.
And those strikeouts consecutively were pretty special. Again, Steve Geltz with us on This Week in Rays Baseball. You've caught a lot of first pitches. You probably got more attention than you'd like to chat about regarding Paula Abdul. So let's take this a different route. If you had someone that you'd want to come throw out a first pitch at Tropicana Field that you'd want to catch, give me some of your, let's say, your top three and why.
Top three. My dad. I think that would be really cool for him and me just to be able to do that. Number two, probably my grandpa if he was still here. That'd be something special. And then, gosh, number three. Oh, man. there's this might cause some controversy, but it's a guy named Alex Jones. He's a blogger, and he kind of does some controversial topics and stuff, what he talks about, but he's very interesting, and he knows how to. I just would like to talk to that guy for a few minutes and just pick his brain about things, and he would be fun to catch first pitch, I think.
So no athlete, no musician you want to put on there?
I can't like select a certain. I mean, I like so much music. If you went from my iPod, you had everything from Frank Sinatra, Glenn Miller Orchestra to Dr. Dre to 311 and Sublime, to Dierks Bentley. I mean, I like all of it, and I can't select a certain one, no.
Again, chatting with Steve Geltz, who most people, I would think, know. You were a non-drafted free agent. Is there a level of pride and a chip that you think you still carry that's allowed you to succeed at this level?
Absolutely. It's a huge factor into my game plan, my determination, my willpower, all that. I mean, that all plays because, granted, it's never easy for anybody to get here, and it's even harder for anybody to stay here. But if you consider some people have different roads and trials and tribulations, and for me personally, they were a little bit steeper hills to climb, and I was up to the challenge, and I embraced it, and I enjoy it. I wouldn't trade it for anything because it made me who I am today as a man, as a teammate, and I just appreciate every opportunity I've had.
And you also come from a one stoplight town too, Ransomville, New York. Population what, 1,400? I don't know if it's gone up or down since the last time I looked, but I mean, what does that town mean to you, and what does home mean?
It means everything, and I get all kinds of updates from my family when they go into town and they see so-and-so or they see so, because everybody knows everybody. And so everyone's so quick to congratulate my parents and to wish Stevie all the best, and we're all pulling for him and watching him, and it's a great feeling. It really is.
You seem like such a nice person all the time, but you have to have a mean streak out there. Where does the mean streak come from, and where is that competitive fire that you had? How did it start?
It comes from that being that 5'9" righty that nobody gives any credit to. That's what it comes from. Because, whether it's true or not anymore, I still believe in it. And when I go on that mound, I feel like every hitter's out there saying, oh, who's this short guy? He going to do nothing. And that's... I kind of use that as fuel, and I like being underestimated, and I like being not credit given to me, and I enjoy that feeling. I embrace it.
On this road trip, you go to Houston, where they have a guy who's actually shorter than you in Jose Altuve. What other players do you know that you can post up in the lane?
I might have Kirby. I'm gonna stay in house. I'm gonna say Kirby. I'm gonna go with. I can for sure post up on Reef, on CJ Reef, and I for sure got him. That's probably about it, though. Maybe Mayor Cabrera. I might be able to get him on the block real quick.
Well, hopefully you continue to post up in terms of appearances and continue to have a whole lot of success on the mound. Lots of fun. We appreciate a few minutes on This Week in Rays Baseball.
Not a problem. Thanks, Neil.
At Steve Geltz, we'll continue right after this. You're listening to the Rays Baseball Network.